हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ गणानाम् त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजम् ब्रह्मणाम् ब्रह्मणस्पतान् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ओम् तत्सत् भ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् So in this Panchadashi, I have to say this again, even though I have already said this. The very title Panchadashi reveals the text having 15 chapters. Panchadasha, 15, and Panchadashi, a text consisting of 15 chapters. And we started the first chapter, and we went into the second chapter actually. The Panchadashi, actually each 5 chapter is called Panchakam. So we have five chapters form one section, and the second 5 chapters form second section, and the third 5 chapters form the third section. And this second chapter of the first Panchakam, the set of first 5 chapters, is called Panchabhuta Viveka Panchakam. Each chapter of Panchadashi text is very carefully, beautifully unfolding Brahman, the reality. But there's different ways of bringing the reality to light. And in the second chapter, Vidyaranya Swami, the author of this text, takes the 5 elements and analyzes the 5 elements, and by analyzing the 5 elements, and he brings the nature of reality to light. It means he unfolds the nature of Brahman, the reality, through the analysis of 5 elements and the elementals. In fact, no acharya, traditional acharya, the traditional teacher of Advaita Vedanta Shastram, claims anything as his own, anything to be his own invention or his own discovery. He always makes it very clear that he only reproduces what he has acquired, accumulated from the Vedantic texts, especially the Upanishads. So Upanishadic vision alone, the content of the Upanishads alone, is reproduced, represented again in these texts. That he mentions in the very first verse. And to present any topic, suppose in Upanishads there is something called Panchakosha Prakriya. Like in Taittiriyam, we have Panchakosha Prakriya. One Prakriya is there. There's a method of unfoldment. Unfoldment of the nature of reality. Or method of arriving at the nature of reality. Because you have to arrive at the reality only by arriving at the nature of the reality. There is no such thing called arriving at the reality without arriving at the nature of the reality. How do you know this is what the reality is? Therefore, only by arriving at the nature, Swarupam. That's why I repeat this sentence many, many, many times. I never felt bored. And even now I don't feel bored. You know, I don't have no hesitation to say this. The reality has to be arrived at only, you know, through its nature. Only in terms of its Swarupam. So here, the Swarupam or the nature of the reality has to be revealed. So in order to reveal the nature of the reality, thereby to arrive at what exactly how the reality is, there are many methods. Or one such method is Panchakosha Prakriya. Isn't it? Like that. And here, instead of going to the Panchakosha Prakriya, he takes the elements themselves. All the five elements. So here, analysis of the Panchabhutani. So, analysis of the elements also implies analysis of the elementals. You just don't analyze only Vayu, Akashaha, Vayuhu, Agnihi, Apaha, Prithivi. You also analyze the elementals. So, by way of analyzing all these five elementals, elements and the elemental universe, the reality is brought to light. Reality, you know, is revealed. And to start that, you always the author, you have to remember this fact, the author must be definitely having in his view a given Upanishad or some Upanishad based on which he is going to present his teaching. Okay, it is not his own teaching. So, if we think, what is that Upanishad? What is that particular Upanishad he has in his mind and based on which he is going to present the teaching in this second chapter, especially the analysis of the elements and the elementals, and revealing Brahman through that analysis. Take mainly the one of the major Upanishads is Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogya Upanishad is a quite very big Upanishad. It consists of eight chapters. Big Upanishad. And the first five chapters of Chandogya Upanishad only discusses the Upasanani, various meditative techniques as a preparatory discipline. But only the last three chapters unfold the nature of reality. And each chapter, the three chapters, so we our focus only on the last three chapters. Even Pujya Swamiji paid attention to these last three chapters. Because even if we study, like Taittiriya Upanishad, we had the first chapter, Sikshavalli, and few meditations we came across. Of course, we understood what those meditations are, but we are not practicing those meditations. As a non-Vedic, non-Vedic means students, people who are not exposed to the study of the entire Veda, or who are not exposed to the study of the, you know, the teaching. Actually, those meditations are not really easy for us to practice. Even without practicing those meditations also, we can straight away go for understanding the very Upanishadic teaching, I mean the actual teaching, Brahmavidya. So we understand how the meditations are presented there. Really would not practice those meditations. And in Chandogya Upanishad, Imagine 5 chapters are dedicated for discussing those upasanani. We can understand them, but we don't really study those Upanishads, practice those meditations. So the 6th chapter onwards, if we take the 6th, 7th and 8th, all the 3 chapters which actually unfold the nature of Brahman, reveal the reality. So they are only actually given more importance for Vedanta students, because we want only subject matter from the 3 chapters mainly. Even Pooja Swamiji skips the 5 chapters. He goes straight away to 6th chapter and he teaches the last 3 chapters. And each chapter unfolds Brahman in a particular way. In keeping with that, the way how the nature of reality is unfolded, each chapter is also given the title. For example, 6th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad reveals the nature of reality as pure existence, Sat. Therefore, the 1st chapter, the 6th chapter is called Sadvidya. And the next chapter, 7th chapter, for example, reveals Brahman as Bhuman. Bhuma. Bhuma is another word for Brahma. Like how Brahma, Param Brahma. Like we have this word Bhuma, which is a synonym of the word. We should not mistake here. The Bhuma is a common name in India, because Bhuma, Bhuma we call. Bhuhu means Mother Earth. And Ma means mother. Is it? Bhuma means, we also talk, Bhumi Mata also is called Bhuma. That is different. Stilinga Shabda, isn't it? But here, Bhuman, Bhuma is a different word, not feminine word. Here, Bhuma is equal to Brahma. Doesn't mean Mother Earth here. Therefore, Brahman is revealed as Bhuma in the 7th chapter. Therefore, it is called Bhuma Vidya. The chapter is called Bhuma Vidya. So, Sadvidya, Bhuma Vidya, like that, we have the names. And here, if we see, what is the chapter which this Vaidyaranya Swami keeps in his mind before he starts unfolding the nature of reality through the analysis of Panchabhutani or Panchabhutikani, 5 elements and the elementals. If we see, it is the 6th chapter, it is the 6th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad. That is why I said understanding Panchadeshi also involves great deal of knowledge of the Upanishads. So even if you have not studied Chandogyam also, here to understand the actual teaching of Chandogya Upanishad. So Mahabhuta Vivekaha, the first section called Viveka Panchakam, Mahabhuta Vivekaha or Panchabhuta Vivekaha is the title of the 2nd chapter. So let me read the first verse. You can say after me, then I'll go ahead with that. So I give you some basic introduction. Sadadvaitam.
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 Shrutam yattate.
Shrutam yattate.
पंचभूतविवेकतः बोद्धं शक्यं ततो भूतपञ्चकम् प्रविविच्यते बोद्धं शक्यं ततो भूतपञ्चकम् प्रविविच्यते. So in the very first verse he says bhuta panchakam pravivichyate. Pravivichyate means discriminated, discerned through analysis. Vivichyate. In fact, the word vivekaha, the noun form, has come from this root. It's come from this verb. Now, vivichya jnanam vivekaha. So, vivichyate means differentiated, distinguished, or discerned, discriminated. Discriminated means what? One, distinguishedly distinguished, differentiated, which means through analysis. Since analyzed thoroughly, understood very well what these elements are. So, vivichyate, pavivichyate, the prakarshena vichyate means carefully, without leaving any vagueness about it. Now, the prefix pra is so emphatic about how these elements are differentiated. Not differentiated means they are understood through thick and thin. What these elements are. No, so pravivekaha is the noun form. Pravivekaha, vivekaha, and pravivekaha means prakarshena vichya jnayate. So very clearly, thoroughly analyzed and differentiated and understood. All the elements are understood here. What is that? Bhuta panchakam. So bhuta panchakam, panchakam, pancha means five and panchakam means a set of five. So pancha bhutani means five elements. But bhuta panchaka means a set of five elements. You say pancha bhutani is otherwise for the sake of the poetic expression. And he has used this word pancha bhuta panchakam. So what is that which is discerned and distinguished, analyzed, you know, carefully here? The five elements. Five elements are analyzed and differentiated. Therefore, for what that is said earlier, panchabhuta vivekataha. Panchabhuta vivekataha means by analyzing panchabhuta vivekat. What the purpose of the analysis of the five elements is implied in that previous line, first sentence. Panchabhuta vivekataha. By analyzing these five elements thoroughly, carefully, vivekataha, bodhum shakyam. Bodhum means to know, shakyam. It is possible, shakyam means possible. It is possible to know. It is possible to know. So by analyzing the five elements carefully, it is possible to know what is possible to know. He says advaitam sat. Advaitam sat. It is possible to know the reality. Possible to know the absolute reality, Brahman, the pure non-dual existence. So Advaitam is an adjective for the word Sat. Sad Advaitam, take it. Advaitam Sat. So Advaitam is non-dual. Sat is existence. So Advaitam Sat is equal to Brahma. Otherwise, he says what? It is not easy to understand. So we have to understand what Brahman is, what the reality is, and he says it is possible to know, understand the absolute reality, Brahman. In the terms, he said Sat Advaitam, the non-dual existence. Sad Advaitam Bodhum Shakyam Panchabhuta Vivekataha. Suppose order. Panchabhuta Vivekataha Sat Advait Sat Advaitam Advaitam Sat Bodhum Shakyam. It is possible to clearly understand the Brahman, the absolute reality, the non-dual pure existence. Otherwise, it is not possible for us to understand Brahman, the pure existence. And he says, this Advaitam, Sad Advaitam, which we can understand easily through the analysis of elements, how, which he is going to present here. But he, that word Shrutam implies that here what has been heard from the Upanishads. The word Shrutam is very important here. Know why? Vidyaranya Swami, in the very beginning, when he presents this analysis of the five elements and through which analysis he wants to reveal Brahman, and he wants to make it very clear, this analysis of five elements, which I am going to present in this chapter, and by through which analysis I am going to reveal Brahman, we are going to understand Brahman, is not my own teaching, is not my own, that's what he means here, is not his own teaching, his own invention or discovery. It is from the source of Upanishad, the source of this teaching. The source book is Upanishads. That is implied by the word of Shrutam. So what I have heard, what has been heard, understood, retained, assimilated and reproduced here from the Upanishads is reproduced here. That's what he means by that word Shrutam. Pancha Bhuta Vivekataha Shrutam Advaitam Sat Shrutam Bodham Shakyam. Therefore, Pancha Bhuta Panchakam Atra Vivichyate Tataha Bhuta Panchakam Vivichyate. The very first sentence he says what he is going to present in the teaching, the second the chapter. Therefore we can say the first verse is the verse wherein the subject matter is introduced. So first verse presents the introduction of the teaching. What is going to be discussed in the whole chapter? The whole chapter presents you the analysis of the elements as a means of revealing, arriving at Brahman, the reality. And this analysis of the elements, thereby arriving at the nature of reality, is not something of the teacher himself, but it is what has been being given by the tradition from the Upanishads. What he means by saying Shrutam. And if you ask, suppose what is that Upanishad which he means, what is the particular Upanishad he means? He says so many Upanishads, of them 10 of them have been commented upon by Adishankara Bhagavatpada. There is some Upanishad which he has taken as a source of his teaching, which based on which the whole teaching is presented here. If we take, it is the word Sat, it implies the Chandogya Upanishad, the 6th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad. So, Sad Advaitam Shrutam Yat Tat Panchabhuta Vekataha Bodham Shakyam Tataha Panchabhuta Panchakam Pravichyate. Now, we'll take this. What is that sentence? The main sentence. Now, there is a famous... Now, this sentence you have to memorize. Very famous sentence from Chandogya Upanishad. If somebody says, I have studied Chandogya Upanishad, whether you know anything in the Upanishad or not, you should know this one sentence definitely. Like people who study Bhagavad Gita, they should know Karma Yoga. When they talk on Karma Yoga, they will all hold Jagat, whether they have understood the meaning correctly or not, they will quote this one verse. Karman eva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahe turbhuhu ma te sangostva karmani. They will chant this verse. Karman eva adhikaraste, the whole jagat will chant. Karma yoga Bhagavad Gita means they will chant. Quote. Like the Chandogya Upanishad, unfoldment of the nature of reality as pure existence means they have to remember this sentence, most famous sentence. What is that? Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit Yekameva Dvitiyam. I'll repeat it. You can memorize this sentence. If you can memorize this sentence and go home today, still this is worth spending the time today, coming all the way. Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit Sadeva Saumya Idam Agra Asit Yekameva Yekameva Advitiyam Sat Sat Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit Yekameva Advitiyam Sat Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit Yekameva Dvitiyam Sat. Here, this is a sentence from the teacher, and he is calling the student, Hey Saumya. Saumya means, O dear child, O beloved student. I think when he says Saumya, it's an expression of the warmth the teacher shows to the student, that is not all important here for us. We are only Sat. But how, where the teaching comes, this, Hey Saumya, Sat Yeva Asit means existed. Asit means existed. What existed? Sat existed. Sat is equal to pure existence. Sad Asit. Hey Samya, O my beloved student. Sad Asit. Sad actually is Sat. The Ta becomes the if it is followed by another soft consonant or a vowel. Atakaraha Ta, if it is followed by a soft consonant or a vowel, becomes the. Actual word is Sat, not Sad. S-A-T, not Sat. Sat. But in sentence, Sadeva, we don't say Sateva. Sateva solakudal. Sat plus Eva becomes Sadeva. Ta becomes Da. So Sat Asit. When you say Sat Asit, Sad Asit, Sat is equal to pure existence, Asit. And Eva is an indeclinable word which means alone, only. Sat alone existed. Pure existence alone was. Sat eva asit, sadeva asit. When asit means past tense, when agre, agra in mantra, the word agra comes. When you want to know the meaning, you should say agre. Agra should be taken as agre, means before. Then idam. Idam means this. The third person singular pronoun this. And this indicates this entire universe. Agre. This entire universe means what now? Before this entire universe originated, came into existence. So, Sadeva Saumya Idam Agra Asit. So, before the origination, this universe existed. Idam asit. Idam agre asit. This entire universe existed before. Agre. This entire universe which is now here in the form of the universe existed before means what? It is not new. Idam agre asit. This entire universe existed, was existent before. But in what form did this universe exist? This universe existed in the form of pure existence. In the form of pure existence only. So very carefully said sentence. This universe existed before. This universe existed only in the form of pure existence. The universe was only in the form of pure existence. Idam agre sadeva asit. It's a complete sentence. Idam jagat agre sadeva asit. This entire universe now, what is here now, was there before also only in the form of pure existence. And how was that pure existence? Ekam eva. It was there as one undivided, indivisible, non-dual, secondless reality. Ekam eva advitiyam. Ekam, one, again eva, one alone, advitiyam, non-dual. So this entire universe was existent before only in the form of pure, secondless, only existence, only reality. Ekam advitiyam sat eva idam agre asit. He does not say universe has originated. I added. Really, the sentence says this universe was there before and it was in the form of pure existence, which is one and secondless. That eva, eva twice comes, alone, only, universe, pure existence alone was. Now what is the difference? Is there existence now or not? So this, therefore, Brahman, the reality, in the form of reality, Swarup means existence. So reality, Brahman was there in the form of pure existence before. So what is the difference between pure existence and otherwise the word existence? The existence qualifying the Nama Rupam. Existence qualifying the Nama Rupa is manifest existence. Existence without qualifying the Nama Rupa is pure existence. And a pure existence is indivisible, undivided, one, all pervasive, independent. These are the, we have to remember these words. Pure existence is one, indivisible, undivided, all pervasive, independent. So existence is always undivided, always indivisible, always one, always all-pervasive, always independent. But what is the difference before and now? So Jagat is existence qualifying the Nama Rupam is Jagat. And existence minus Nama Rupam is pure existence. Now, the existence qualifying the Nama Rupams is as though divided and it as though many. Example I can give, when you say, now Lakshmi is, Amma is, or chair is, sofa is, when you say every object, isn't it? Existence qualified by every object here. Existence of the table, the table existence, chair existence, door existence means, is that the door existence, table existence, chair exists, table exists, door exists, light exists, she exists, he exists. When you say that is, if you say, suppose he is, she is, that is, this is, In all of them, there is existence. The yeast stands for existence. But the existence is what now? It's a manifest existence, qualified by Namarupa. Qualifying the Namarupa. Chair existence means what? It's qualified, isn't it? And even though it is one indivisible, it is as though divided and as though many. As though. When these names and forms are dissolved, there is again pure existence. Cognitively, when you dissolve the names and forms, we can understand the existence being one, secondless, non-dual, indivisible one. Therefore, he says is, Sadeva Saumya Idam Agra Asit Yekameva Advitiyam. Yekameva Advitiyam. And this is the most famous, no, the significant, the sentence of the Chandogya Upanishad, the sixth chapter. And this sentence is the source, is the basis on which he presents this whole teaching. That's what he wants to say here. It's all explanation for the word Shrutam. Which means we can be sure that the teaching given in this chapter, in this book called Panchadashi, in the second chapter, in terms of Panchabhuta, Bhuta, Mahabhuta Vivekaha or Panchabhuta Vivekaha, is presenting the analysis of the elements for revealing Brahman is based on the teaching of the sixth sentence from the sixth chapter of Chandogya Upanishad. With this understanding, we have to go to the next verse. Shabdasparshau Ruparasau Sparshau Ruparasau Gandho bhuta gan bhuta guna ime Gandho bhuta guna ime Yeka dvitri Chatuf pancha guna Vyomadi shukramat Shabda sparshau Ruparasau Gandho Bhuta Gunaime Yeka Dvi Tri Chatuf Pancha Guna Vyomadishu Kramat. Now he begins the kindergarten teaching of the analysis of the elements. Now you can really enjoy very simple teaching. Actually, he very subtly he started, and he is going to start from the grassroots level now. So easy to understand. And finally he will go to Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit Ekame Vadviti Yam Sat. He'll go later on. Now he says, he talks about the five qualities, and each is a unique, each gunaha is the nature of each element. What is the nature of each element here? How do you understand the element based on its gunaha? So here, shabdaha, sound, sparshaha, touch, rupam, form, rasaha, taste, gandaha, smell. So rupa, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandhav are the what now? So here, the sound, touch, form, taste and smell are the five gunas of the five elements. And he says, first one element has one gunaha. Okay, the subtlest element has only one gunaha. The more gunas the elements have, the more gunas the element has, then that element becomes grosser. First he says, Yekaha gunaha. It takes space, Akashaha. Akasha has only one guna. Akasha has only one guna, which is Shabdaha. So, Shabda gunakaha Akashaha, which we read in Tattvabodha. Shabda gunakaha Akashaha means sound is the quality belonging only to the space, its own gunaha. And Sparshaha is the quality belonging to the air element. And form is the gunaha belonging to the fire. And taste is the gunaha belonging to the element, sorry, water. Gandaha, smell, is the gunaha belonging to the earth. So each one has its own respective gunaha. Each one has its own special respective gunaha. But what happens? Akashaha has only one gunaha. That is why space is said to be the subtlest of the elements. Why space is the subtlest of the elements? Because it has only one gunaha. And yeka gunakaha. Then dvi. If you go to air, air has its own gunaha, that is touch plus sound. Therefore, dvi gunakaha vayuhu. Yeka gunakaha akashaha. Yeka shabda eka gunakaha akashaha. So, shabda sparsha dvi gunakaha is what? The vayuhu. The air element has its own quality of sound, touch, plus it also borrows the other guna of the space. Therefore, it has dvi gunakaha. Then you go to fire. Fire has its own shabda sparsha rupa, isn't it? The fire has its own gunaha form. Form is the its own guna. It is available for perception. It has its own gunaha. Plus it has two other gunas of space and air. So Tri gunakaha agnihi. Fire has three gunas. Therefore, then rasaha. Water's own gunaha is taste. Isn't it? Water's own gunaha is taste. Without water, you can never understand what it is meant by the word rasaha, taste. To taste any taste, you need the water, which stands for tasting, isn't it? Therefore, taste is the guna belonging to the water, and this water is chatur gunaha. So, jalam, water has its own guna plus other three gunas. It has sparsha, shabda, rupa, plus its own taste guna. Four gunas it has. Then pancha gunakaha. Whereas the earth, it has its own guna. Its own guna is smell. Its respective guna it has. It also has the gunas, all the four gunas of all other elements. Therefore, it is pancha gunakaha. One's own and also having other gunas of the other elements. So earth has the five gunas, its own plus four, totally it has pancha gunakaha, pancha gunika prithivi, pancha gunika prithivi, means the earth element having its own guna, it also has the gunas of other elements. So pancha gunika prithivi we say. Therefore, the more gunas the element has along with its own, it is said to be the grossest of the elements. That's why prithivi is the grossest of the elements. And then we can say now akasha is subtlest of the elements because only one guna it has. Isn't it? If you then from the standpoint of the earth, the other elements become what now? Subtler and subtler and subtler. No? Subtle. Subtlest is the akasha. Grossest is the prithivi. So on what base we say subtle and gross? The number of gunas the element has. But even though each element has its own specific gunaha, it also has the other gunas. But akasha is unmixed. It has purely its own guna of sound. That's why our sense powers are associated with the elements. So which devata should I worship to correct any of my problems? Any problem you have with the ear, we have to invoke the grace of Akasha Devata. And anything to do with the smell, the nose, Prithvi Devata. Anything to do with the eyes, Agni Devata. Agni is mainly for also, that's why we invoke sun. Then skin, we have Vayu Devata, touch, like this. So he says, he talks about it, first he presents how each element has its own property and how the more the properties are, the grosser is the element. That's what he said in the second verse. Shabda sparshau ruparasau, sparshau ruparasau, gandho bhuta ganaime, eka dvitri chatuh pancha guna, vyomadi shukramat, pratidhvanir viyachhando vayo visiti shabdanam. Vayo visiti shabdanam anushnashita anushnashita samsparshah vanno bhugubhugudvanihi. He is really beautifully saying pratidhvanir viyachhando vayo, pratidhvanir viyachhabdo vayo bisiti chabdanam anushnashita samsparshah anushnashita samsparshah vannau భుగుభుగుధ్వని. హి సేస్ ప్రతిధ్వని. ధ్వని మీన్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ నాయిస్, సౌండ్. ధ్వని ఆల్సో మీన్స్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ కామన్ ఇన్ అదర్ లాంగ్వేజెస్ ఆల్సో. ధ్వని మీన్స్ సౌండ్, బట్ ప్రతిధ్వని మీన్స్ ఎకో, ఎదురులి. ప్రతిధ్వని మీన్స్ ఎకో. ప్రతిధ్వని ఈస్ ది సౌండ్. నౌ వేర్ డస్ దిస్ ఎకో రైజ్, వేర్ డస్ ది ఎకో హ్యాపన్? ఇట్ ఈస్ వియచ్ఛబ్ద. వియచ్ఛబ్ద, హౌ డు యు నో దట్ సౌండ్ ఈస్ ది ప్రాపర్టీ ఆఫ్ ది ఆకాశ? హౌ డు యు నో దట్? ఫస్ట్ హీ సెడ్ సౌండ్ ఈస్ ది స్పెసిఫిక్ ప్రాపర్టీ ఆఫ్ ది ఆకాశ, స్పెసిఫిక్ ఆకాశ గుణ. హౌ డు యు సే? బికాస్ ప్రతిధ్వని ఎకో హ్యాపన్స్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ స్పేస్. దెర్ఫోర్ బికాస్ ఎకో హ్యాపన్స్ ఇన్ స్పేస్ ఈజ్ సౌండ్ ఈస్ ది స్పెసిఫిక్ ప్రాపర్టీ, స్పెసిఫిక్ ఆకాశ గుణ. వాయౌ బీసీతి శబ్దనం, ఇజ్ంట్ ఇట్? ఇట్స్ కాల్డ్ బీసీతి. దేర్ ఇస్ నో వర్డ్ యాక్చువల్లీ. బీసీతి శబ్దనం. శబ్దనం మీన్స్ మేకింగ్ నాయిస్ అగైన్. శబ్ద సౌండ్, శబ్దనం మీన్స్ కాసింగ్ నాయిస్. సో దర్ ఈస్ అ నాయిస్ హర్డ్ ఆన్ ది పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది వాయు. వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్? వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్? బీసీతి. సో ఇట్ వీ కెన్ సే ది రజలింగ్, బజలింగ్ సౌండ్ ఆఫ్ ది వీస్ హియర్ ది పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది వాయు. And but when that air is moving, what happens? Anushna ashita samsparshaha. Ushna means hot. Anushna means what? Not non-hot. Anushna ashita means what? Non-cold. Samsparshaha, touch. So on its, and when the vayu blows or when the vayu moves, we feel what touch here? Anushna ashita samsparshaha. It is neither, it feels neither hot. Anushnam, it doesn't feel hot, nor does it feel cold. Ashita samsparshaha. So the when the air, the movement of the air, or the air, the feeling caused by the air is the touch, which is neither hot nor cold. Then vannau, what happens then? Vannihi is another word for agnihi, fire. Vannau, so vannau bhugubhugu dhvanihi. When the fire is burning, you can see bhugubhugu dhvanihi. Bhugubhugu dhvanihi, it doesn't make the bhugubhugu. You hear what you hear when the fire is, you know, the big conflagrations and all, when you hear the, you see the fire burning, you know, you what the sound you hear is what? Bhugubhugu. Bhugubhugudhvanihi. What he wants to say is, it also has how its own. Then, it's all simple verses. We can cover a lot today actually. So, pratidhvanirviyachabdo, pratidhvanirviyachabdo, vayo bisiti shabdano, shabdanam, vayo bisiti shabdano, అనుష్ణాశీత సంస్పర్శః, అనుష్ణాశీత సంస్పర్శః, वन्नौ भुगुभुगुध्वनिः भुगुभुगुध्वनिः उष्णस्पर्शप्रभारूपम् जले बुलुबुलुध्वनिः शीतस्पर्शशुक्लरूपम् रसो माधुर्यमीरितः उष्णस्पर्शप्रभारूपम् जले बुलुबुलुध्वनिः भुगु भुगु बुलु बुलु शीतस्पर्शशुक्लरूपम् रसो माधुर्यमीरितः उष्णस्पर्शः प्रभारूपम् उष्णस्पर्शः सो हियर् देयर्स् अ टच् of the heat, isn't it? How does the fire feel? Isn't it? The fire has the feeling of the fire contributes for the feeling of touch, the feeling of heat, isn't it? The touch of heat. So he says, Ushna Sparshaha. The fire is hot to touch, isn't it? Fire contributes for the feeling of the touch of heat. That prabha rupam, prabha, brilliance. Prabha literally means brilliance. Prabha rupam. And the transliteration here is, color is red, but I want to say prabha rupam means, and it is of the nature of, it is of the form of brilliance, brightness. Fire is bright and brilliant, blazing. That is the fire. Then he says, Jale, when the water is flowing in the river and all, what is the sound you hear? Bulubuludhvanihi. The water is flowing, isn't it? So, Jale bulubuludhvanihi. There is a noise. Some sort of, you know, ripping sound, rippling sound. That's what we say. Some sort of sound comes. Then, Sheetasparshaha. And the water is not hot. Water doesn't give you the feeling of the touch of heat, but it gives you the feeling of the touch of the cold. For the water is cold to touch. Sheetasparshaha. Then, Shukla Rupam. And water has no color. Shuklam literally means white. So, water is not white like milk, isn't it? Water is clear. Is it? Water is what? Actually, the clean water, the pure water, is very clear. Isn't it? Therefore, the clarity of water is meant by the word white here. We say the color of the water is white. This is translation is given. Color of the water is white means, what will you think? Maybe I have water, white water in Coimbatore, not elsewhere in the world. Actually, I don't know how he translated. White is not white. White stands for clarity here. Okay? So, what is the color form of the water? If you say it is liquid, is okay, but it is clear. So, it is clear. Clarity is its form. Then madhuryam iritaha, and madhuryam means sweet. Water is sweet. Is what he says? It is sweet in taste. Water is sweet in taste. How can he say that? Is salt sea water or which water, isn't it? Generally, water is sweet means the tasteness of any taste. The tasteness of any taste is enjoyable, experienceable only because of the water. Therefore, tastelessness is the taste of the water, which is a basis for any taste. Tastelessness, which is the taste of the water, is the basis for understanding any taste. Hot, sour, bitter, salty, sweet. To understand any taste, there is a basis is what? Tastelessness, the taste of the water. And the tastelessness of the water, tasteless, sweet taste of the water, is the taste of the water, isn't it? Is it to be what here? Madhuryam. Madhuryam literally means sweetness. And therefore, the translator has done the exact justice what he directly, literally translated. It is sweet in taste. Water is white in color. He has written like that. So you understand? So the fire is hot to touch and water is cold to touch. Cold means water, it's not hot. Water is not hot to touch. When you do not feel the heat when you touch the water, of course, you definitely feel the heat when you touch the fire. Whereas, and water has no color, isn't it? Water has no color. So the colorlessness of the water implies what? The clarity of the water. It is, what is the form of the water? It's clear. Clear means what? The clarity is transparent. I mean, that's why you can see the reflection of you can see any reflection in the water because of the transparency. So the transparency is meant by the word here, the white. Then the next word he says is madhuryam iritaha. Iritaha is said to be, water is said to be sweet. In fact, water is of the taste of the water is tastelessness, which is its nature. The tastelessness is the taste of the water, and because of which any taste is experienceable. Which means the water does not taste sweet, salty, sour, bitter or sweet. There are only six shadruchis. There are only six tastes. We don't have a seventh taste. Know that. So water's taste does not come under any of the six tastes. And because of water has, the reason is water has no taste. And the tastelessness alone contributes for the taste of all the six tastes. Therefore we say it is a madhuryam sweet. Okay, next. Bhoomau kadakada shabdaha. I'm going to ask you in the class, bugu bugu, gulu gulu, then kadakada, kadakada. Bhoomau kadakada shabdaha. Katinyam. I used to wonder, in our language, gragadan adde, gububun pogude, we used to say in our expressions. Now I understand where they got these words from. Bhoomo kadakada shabdaha. Bhoomo kadakada shabdaha. Katinyam. Sparsha ishyate. Neeladikam. Chitrarupam. Madhuramladikorasaha. Bhoomo kadakada shabdaha. Kathinyam. Sparsha ishyate. Neeladikam. Chitrarupam. Madhuramladikorasaha. Madhuramladikorasaha. So, bhoomau. See, bhoomihi is an ikaranta strilinga shabda. A word ending in ikaranta shabda. Bhoomihi. The bhoomau, bhoomihil, locative case of bhoomihi. Get all the way to me. So, bhoomau means and the part of bhoomi, the earth. Kadakada shabdaha. See, the shabdaha, the sound which is the actual guna, property of the vayu, akasha, is here, found here also, on the part of the earth. That's why kadakada shabdaha. Okay, some sort of a rattling noise comes. And then kaṭinyam sparsha ishyate. And because it is the grossest of the elements, having borrowed all the properties of the other gunas of other elements also, it is hard to touch. Kaṭinyam. Kaṭinyam means hardness. Actually, kaṭinyam is a noun. It is gross to touch. Hard to touch, rough to touch. Kaṭinyam, rough, hard, gross. All the words you can say. It is not subtle, soft, isn't it? So earth is, generally earth when you touch, it is not soft, isn't it? It is rough, hard, gross. Kaṭinyam sparsha ishyate. How each element is. It is hard to touch, isn't it? When he says, the neeladikam chitra rupam, and all these different colors, neeladikam, neela means blue, adikam means etc. So that we can say all varieties of colors such as blue, etc. Only his etc. because it understood all the colors. How many of our colors do we have now? All the colors we are able to experience because of this earth alone. Neeladikam. Then chitrarupam. Chitrarupam means multifarious. Multifarious colors perceptible through the eyes. Also, what now? All basically the form of the earth alone. So, all the multifarious colors and also the forms perceived through the eyes belong to whom? The earth element. Not only that, he explains beautifully in these verses how each element is, grasser and grasser and grasser. Not only that, madhura amladikaha rasaha. Now we taste the sour taste of the lemon or tamarind or, a sweetness of mango, sour taste of mango and the sweetness of any other fruit. Fruits taste sour, bitter, and all the vegetables we eat, varieties of vegetables like bitter gourd is bitter, and lemon and is very sour, and some other fruits are very sweet fruits. So the different tastes of different fruits and plants, the leaves, vegetation, actually. They are all actually the tastes belonging to this earth only. Earth only. So he says, rasaha, taste. Madhura means sweet. Amla means sour. Adikaha, etc. Sweet, sour. We can include bitter. Pungent. We can add all the tastes. All this adhika rasaha. So earth has all forms of tastes. All forms of tastes also are now are there on the part of the earth. And all forms of, all sorts of colors, varieties of colors and forms also belong to the earth. And it is, it has its own touch also of, touch of hardness. And it has a sound. What sound? Kadakada sound also happens on the part of the earth, which means, and earth has its own, earth's own property is smell. Isn't it? Own smell. Gandaha. Gandhavati prithivi, we say. Gandhavati prithivi. Earth has its own property of smell, but it has the borrowed properties of other elements in terms of colors, forms, the forms in terms of colors, shapes, etc., and tastes in terms of bitterness, sourness, sweetness, etc. It has the sound also, kragada sound. So it has the all the properties of other gunas also. Therefore, what now? Earth is the grossest of the elements. See, in each verse, he talks about how each element has only its own, each element, how subtle is the element. First, when he said, viyachabdha, pratidhvanihi viyachabdha, means echo is the only one thing we heard in this space. Sound is the only property of the space. And space does not have the properties of other elements. Therefore, it remains subtle. The subtler the element, more pervasive it is. Therefore, space is the most pervasive of all the elements. In fact, space is the, is said to be all pervasive. That is why, if of all the five elements, if we take, which element is spatially limitless? Even though there is no place where earth is not, earth also is all pervasive, we can say. In fact, earth does not pervade the space, whereas space pervades the earth. Water does not pervade the space, space pervades the water. In this given location where, like all the elements actually, or other elements are pervaded by this space. In this space, earth exists. In this space, water exists. In this space, fire exists. In this space, you know, air exists. Air, this way, air always comes only within, it has to wander within this space only. That is why space is said to be the all. Space is the only element which is spatially limitless. Every element is said to be spatially limited. Every element is subject to spatial limitation. Space is the only element which has no spatial limitation. That is why we say this very word space in Sanskrit language is called akashaha. Why the word space is called space in English language? Is there any explanation, Ratanji, in Latin? Whereas in Sanskritam, the word space, the word akashaha, implying the space as a meaning. Why space is called space? Akashaha. No? Kashaha means that which shines. Olirgindra ondru, vilangugindra ondru, that which shines. You know, that's why kashate means that which shines. Kashate means shines, vilangugirathu, olirgirathu. Kashaha, olirgindra porul, olirgindra ondru, that which shines is kashaha. Kashate is a verb. Kashaha means that which shines. That's why the light which shines, the light which, see, literally shines, that which shines is kashaha. Kashate shines. And that which shines is called what now? independently, that which shines independently, you know, without depending upon some other light, is called prakashaha. The root is kash. Prakarshena kashate iti prakashaha. That which shines by itself. Isn't it? Self-luminous. That's the meaning. So, which means light is the all the elements. Take one thing. All the elements, five elements, are opaque. What is this universe? Five elemental model. The universe is nothing but five elemental model. There is no sixth element here. So each, all the five elements are opaque. So elementals are also, actually leave the fire. The rest of the four, opaque. Along, apart from fire, the rest of them are actually opaque. Therefore, when you talk about the light also is what now? The light is something which shines. When compared to other elements, it is self-luminous. That's why it's called prakarshena kashate. That which shines independently is called prakashaha. Other elements are dependent on other light, fire, to come to light, isn't it? To come to light. Prakashaha. Now, it becomes the word akashaha. Very interesting word. Akashaha means A samantat kashate iti akashaha. Very interesting to know this word. A samantat means that which shines everywhere. In fact, in Tamil, if you say, Ingu, Angu, Enru, Enamal, Yengum, Olivihindra, Porul, Yengum, Vilangihindra, Porul, Akashaha. So that which shines everywhere is called Akashaha. That A, energy prefix, implies A samantat. Yengum, Yepolum, Vilanguvadu. Asamantat kashate iti akashaha. What does it mean? It implies all pervasiveness of space. That is why akashaha prakashaha, in fact, Brahma also is implied by the word akashaha. One of the words, the akashaha means mainly space. Akashaha is also a word implying Brahman. You know why? Brahman also shines everywhere. But Akashaha shines as an object. But Brahman shines as a very very truth of everything. Available for, not available for objectification. Only difference. Space also is Akashaha. Brahman also is Akashaha. And two Akashaha. Why Brahman is called Akashaha? That which shines everywhere. Why space is called Akashaha? That which shines everywhere. But what is the difference? Space is object, available for objectification. Brahman is not available for objectification. That's the only difference. You recognize Brahman as the truth of subject, then you understand how it shines as everything. Isn't it? Therefore, it's all pervasive. That is how space is. But, therefore, anyway, so, it's all about the space. Patidvanihi vyechadhamin, that's why this space, how it is akashaha, the very word tells, subtleness of this space. How subtle is the space? It is subtlest of the elements, that it is capable of being all pervasive. All pervasiveness is because of its subtleness. And how, why it is subtle? It is only one property. Kashabdha. Whereas, and we go this Vayuhu, of course Vayu is, has its own property of touch. But still, Vayu has also what sound. Zzz. The sound is, it is borrowed another quality. This is, relatively it is grosser. Then Anushna Ashita Samsparshaha. It has no, you know, it is of the, how does it feel? How do you feel the touch of the Vayu? It is not hot or not cold. But then he says, whereas Vanni fire has three, isn't it? It has, it is hot, it has the touch of guna, property of the air, it has the sound of the space, it has the, you know, it's, sort of, it, its own property of the form. He wants to say that. Then Ushna Samsparshaha and Prabharupam, its own is its brilliance, is its form. Then Jale Bulubuludhvanihi and Shita Sparshaha Shukla Rupam Rasaha Madhuryam. Whereas water has the form, water has the sound, water has touch, water has form, and water has taste also. Isn't it? So, all the qualities. For water is grosser than fire. Fire is grosser than air. Air is grosser than space. Now he comes to the last one. The fifth verse tells you how earth is the grossest of the elements. Why? Because it has kadakada shabdaha, sound, it has borrowed the sound property of the space. Then katinyam, it is, this a touch also is that available for touch. You can touch the earth and it is rough, and it is hard. The hardness of this, the earth, is what now, it's a, the property of the actually air. Then neeladikam chitra rupam, all these colors and forms, and the, you know, which actually belong to the fire, it has borrowed the form also from the fire. Then madhura amladikaha rasaha, it also has, it had varieties of taste belonging to the earth actually. Also what? The taste borrowed from the water element. So having its own gunaha, having borrowed the other properties of other elements, earth is the pancha gunika prithivi. Therefore it has five gunas, therefore it is the grossest of the elements. Okay, let me do one verse and stop it maybe. One or two, I'll do quickly and then we'll stop. Because one small thing come ends there. I can stop it here. Okay. Subhita. Rangam. Rangam dhau gunaha. Samyak vivechitaha. Shrotram tvak chakshushi jihva. Granam chendriya panchakam. So gandaha means smell, and the gandaha smell, which is the property of the earth, but this here we have durgandaha and sugandaha. Durgandaha, sugandaha, both, you know, foul smell and fragrance, both are there on the part of the earth, do gunaha, and then which are samyag vivechitaha, samyag, which are very well distinguished, the distinguishable and the smells of the earth. Some are very enjoyable, desirable, and some are non-desirable, like fragrance and a foul smell. All the smells are there and a part of the earth. And he says, and later on he talks about this, shrotram Twaku Chakshushi Jihva Granamcha Indriya Panchakam. Now he says, having and we have understood these different properties, gunas of all these elements, from here we can understand all the five sense powers, indriyani, subtle powers. Each power is something imperceptible, that is why it's called subtle. If something is perceptible, then we call it gross. Now, perceptible, imperceptible through senses. The sense powers, because of which perception of the external objects is possible, those sense powers are not available for sense perception. The sense powers, because of which perception of external objects is possible, are not available for sense perception, not perceptible through senses. Therefore, they are called subtle. Like, isn't it? Like, seeing power can help you see the objects external. The seeing power cannot see itself. Hearing power can help you hear the sounds, but it cannot be heard. You cannot hear the power of hearing. The power of hearing is that because of which the sounds are heard. Understand? Therefore, they are called sense subtle powers. And he talks about the subtle powers here. Indriya Panchakam. They are subtle powers, which are sense powers. The Shrotram. So, Indriya Panchakam means the sense powers. They are all products of these gunas of the elements. So, these elemental gunas alone, the properties of the elements alone, become what? Actually, the sense powers obtaining in all the sense organs. So, Shrotram. So, the hearing power is, in fact, is the product of the property of the Akashaha. Then, Twak, the power of touch obtaining in the skin is actually product of the property of the air element. Chakshushi, again seeing powers. Seeing power obtaining in both the eyes is the product of the property of the fire element. Then jihva, the power of taste obtaining on the tongue is actually product of the property of the water. Then granam, the power of smelling, is actually product of the property of the earth element. Granam cha indriya panchakam. Then what he wants to say, let me stop here. I can cut next class. Next shloka, what he wants to say, he wants to differentiate. Okay, he wants to say, when he says all these subtle powers obtaining, as the power of hearing, power of smelling, power of tasting, etc., they're all indriyani, but we should not mistake them for the physical parts where they obtain. For example, he says now the ear, the physical organ called ear, the physical organ called eyes, the physical organ called nose, or the tongue, or the skin, these physical organs where these five sense powers obtain, they are different from the sense powers. Sense powers are different from the sense organs, physical organs. And a physical organ is part of the physical body and which is called golakam. This is where we come across the word golakam. Okay, so we'll continue next class.